If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light of the One Life. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. So let's take a deep breath and invoke, call yourself forward in your higher spiritual principles. And feel that energy, which cascades as chills all the way down your body. Yes, it's the chills and the heat and the rocking that you're feeling as you integrate. And if you're not experiencing that, take another deep breath and really exercise your intention as you invoke yourself and integrate your higher principles into your human vessel. Deep breath. Call yourself forward and ride that energy of your breath down all the way through your body like hot chills. And fully embody and present yourself this evening for this evening's transmission and seminar. Our topic is living as an initiate in today's world. So again, you'll have to call yourself forward. Don't expect that which is greater than yourself to drop in uninvited. You have to make room, and you have to call it forth with deep intention. The science of invocation and evocation is the next level beyond prayer. Prayer, which is passive, becomes divinely activating when you take responsibility for bringing those greater levels into harmonized integration with a human instrument. So your real life is hidden in God, but can be intuited and discerned by virtue of what you're doing in your life. So as initiates, we are divine functionaries that for the first time have the job task of importing directly to the human collective, the fiery monadic will of God. In fact, if you want to know who you are, in that level beyond your human instrumentality, that greater part of you, as a spiritual being, you're a point of light within a greater light, a strand of loving energy within the stream of love divine. And sparks of sacrificial fire focused within the fiery will of God. So there is a place on the planet, as well as within the human instrument, as well as within the vast subterranean caverns of the Brotherhood, that's called Shambhala. And that is the center where the fiery will of God is known. And perhaps for the first time in human history, we are permitted to speak of this upon the airwaves and outwardly to a listening audience over the web and over the radio. And it's because this has been a heretofore secret oral tradition that has been imparted only in the silence of the levels of the spirit and between initiates of the Brotherhood. But because we're in a time when there's a great acceleration of the initiatory awakening and activation of all humankind, and the spirit is being poured out now, irrespective of who or what, whoever is willing and will receive can be a recipient of this greater life, this greater fiery anointing that is now being visited on all humankind. So, in order for the innocence of the perfect and divine soul to generate the divine fire of creative will required its immersion in material universes, because it's only in undergoing the experiences of conflict and resolution between disparate agencies that this divine fire is generated. This fire is called Ika Shakti in Sanskrit, and it is literally the fiery power of divine will that emanates directly from the I Am presence, or that which is called the monad. And the energy itself is called Fohat in the esoteric parlance. This means that the closest approximation that we would see of this energy in the natural world would be electricity. That's why the electrical fire and the Fohatic energy of the monad, or the will of God, are very closely aligned. And similar to electricity, the energy must be sourced through the electrical wiring, in our case, of our nervous systems. Which is why, gradually, the initiate is conditioned through life's experiences and the crucible of going through tests and trials and tests and trials and facing obstacles and overcoming them or finding a way around them or surmounting them, that fire, that energy, is accommodated as the spiritual structure begins to strengthen and house a foundation that's able to host this powerful energy. That's why the life of an initiate is the life of a spiritual athlete of an Olympic level. It's not for the wusses and the wimps of the world. It is for the adamant spiritual warrior that is not afraid to enter into the mouth of the bear or to take out the lion like Daniel did. But it is indeed a life of great courage and great living in the independence of a self-realized, self-actualized sense of self in today's world. So the passion of a fiery heart and the adamant striving, that willpower that we call creative generational power that comes from the divine source, that can only be developed in the human form, living in a world of duality, pairs of opposites, and polarity. Now, all advanced souls, the disciples and initiates, will readily recognize this, having already passed through many fires of adversity in the generating of these spiritual fires of creative will. I don't think there's a single advanced soul on the planet that hasn't had an incredibly challenging life filled with obstacles and difficulties and people who incarnated with them as their worst arch enemies. Sometimes even their parents are their worst arch enemy, and they incarnate in the midst of that to work within that gestalt, to bring forth that divine power and fire that is wrought from such tests and trials. So whatever condition you find yourself in, it is perfect for the generation of what is for you that next bursting forth of initiating yourself into your next level. So technically speaking, we do not come into direct alignment with the will principle of the monad until the third degree of initiation, which in esoteric parlance refers to the full integration and soul infusion into the physical mind, emotions, and physical body. So that plays forth as a life of genuine holiness. Not holiness in the sense that you see a person holier than thou sitting off on a rock somewhere apart from humanity, but a holiness on the hoof in the sense that you will see active beneficence being worked through that life. That life will be a life of fiery self-sacrifice on the altar of service to humanity, and it will always be global in effect and will strongly impact the environment of that initiate. That initiate will be hated or loved, but never ignored. It will be hated by those who see only a threat to their own ego structure. It will be a threat to those who wish to cozy down in comfort and to avoid accountability and responsibility. And it will be loved by those who are also seeking to be kindled into greater luminosity and brilliance. But it's not a popularity by any means in terms of the personal experience of an initiate in the world. Usually from childhood, before they even get a grasp of what they're here to do, they are seen and taken to be different and are in some way bullied, harassed, and mocked because of that difference. Many, many families today are homeschooling, which I think is excellent, because until many of these souls that are more demonically driven in terms of their natures, until more of them have worked through those lower levels, it's going to be very difficult for some of the highly, highly evolved souls that are coming in now to be put in ordinary education. Although, if you can do it, it's good because, again, it teaches that initiate how to move amongst many different types of consciousnesses and find a common wheel, a common chord, where there can be some agreement along the way. But that, again, is an individual choice with regard to each soul. So are you such an advanced soul? Are you an initiate threading the higher way? Well, let's have a look. Let's ask a few questions. Have you come in with an inner fire of spirit that pushes you beyond where most people are willing to settle in and hunker down? Have you outgrown the personal interests and pursuits that most are involved and satisfied with? Do you know you've come in with a higher purpose and call of destiny on your life? You don't have to know what it is, but it's just a sense that you're somehow different and being called to do something different than the people around you in your lifetime. Does your heart burn with love for humanity and a desire to serve in their betterment? Is finding your mission and higher purpose a major priority for you? Is your first response to any situation one of seeking to be of service in some manner? Do you shrink from causing harm in even the slightest way to another? Have you sensed often from childhood on that you were being watched and observed in a good way by unseen benefactors? Have you had experiences where you were in great danger and were rescued by some supernatural agency or means? Have you had a feeling that you needed to strive for excellence, even when no one was physically present? And that sense that you're being observed and graded accordingly? Have you held yourself accountable to a higher standard of character and values than those in most of the world around you? Have you had spiritual dreams and inner experiences of working with others and fulfilling some divine plan or project that would benefit the planet in some way? Have you found or created your own way of keeping yourself spiritually charged, attuned, and nourished? Have you recognized your master, your path, and your spiritual line of approach? Or at least intuitively sensed your higher connections? Long before you ever actually meet the master, if you ever do, and it would be on the inner planes more than likely, you will meet in the physical the disciples and initiates of the master. So have you noticed those that you have intuitively recognized as disciples and initiates along your path, and perhaps brothers within the same inner plane ashram in which you serve? It's important for you to recognize that you are light and divine purpose and divine design and the very song of God articulated in a unique expression of divine will, love, and power. That is who and what you truly are. And you are immortal, living an immortal life. There is no such thing as death. Nothing that immortal life created could ever have death as any factor of reality. Life cannot create anything unlike itself. The only thing that happens when you seem to die is that you exchange one life scenario for another more subtle life scenario, but life goes on. And at that level, it's as tangible and real as this level is to you in the physical state. So no one ever dies. No one ever is killed. No one ever can cease to exist. We but change states, vibrational wavelengths, and scenarios in which we operate. That's all. So if you could easily identify with some of the things that I've been sharing and the experiences and feelings I've just mentioned in your life, then we could say that you are most definitely an initiated disciple of the great brother and sisterhood of light. This great brother and sisterhood of light exists on every planet within the omniverses. It is multidimensional. It is omnipresent. It is comprised of men and women who have passed through every test and immortalized their lives and bodies at the highest level. At the level of their initiates and disciples, they are in that process of moving into those levels of divine immortality and living that resurrected, Christed life. All of the brother and sisterhoods of light represent the Most High God and Creator of all. All of them function on this planet and in many of the planets throughout this universe through the office of the Christ and the Order of Melchizedek, which is where this instrument that's speaking to you tonight is operating from as well. You recognize us because we always have the same teaching to bring, regardless of the creedal valence through which it is presented. The great brothers and sisters of humanity that stood forward as the avatars and the adepts, the rishis and the wise ones of ancient times, all stand shoulder to shoulder in service to this planet and a myriad of worlds. And they are always watching the sons and daughters of man to see who is ready to be brought into closer fellowship and alliance. And when we have outlived the pettiness and the mean-spiritedness and the foolishness of our egos and our lower natures, and we cry out, there's got to be something more than this. I want something more. I want what's real. I want God. I want to know who I am. I want to know why I'm here. I want to know my greater purpose. When that becomes the evocative cry of your whole being, someone is immediately sent into your life to awaken you. And usually a succession of people. You know, you'll have so many agencies of your destiny staked out to point you in the right direction, you can't possibly miss the call. In fact, many of you are predestined disciples. That's been called also the marked of the latter days. So it was simply predestined before even you incarnated that you would be a member of the Brotherhood of Light in active service as an initiate at this time. So all of you who are sincerely practicing any path of spirituality, or at least being tested in this lifetime for acceptance into the ranks of committed discipleship. And all disciples are initiates of some degree, all the way up to full Christship, to full mastership, and beyond. For no matter how far you progress, there is always one further advanced who is your spiritual upline and master and benefactor. We all have a master, even the most radiant one, the Christ himself. So that radiant way extends into infinity, and enlightenment is an ever-opening series of revelations and revelations and more revelations. So there's never any competition amongst initiates, only consecration to serving the eternal progression of all life. The law of progression requires your full application and utilization of what you have at hand. You've got to use what you know, what you sense, what you intuit, what you've been given in vision and dream and meditation before anything more is given. So first you're shown a vision. This could be in meditation or a lucid dream or through conscious soul travel. Or sometimes you come back from conscious soul travel or awaken in the morning and suddenly you have an intuitive sense of having been shown. And you begin to write in your journal, which is very important because that helps to anchor it and also to import it into this time and space continuum. And then those who are observing you, watch to see how you go about manifesting that vision you've been given. And you're observed in terms of the diligence and patient way you go about applying the fundamentals of your resourcefulness, your ingenuity, your courage, and your steadfastness, and so forth. Haven't you had the sense of people watching you? I remember when I was a little child, gosh, I was really first or second grade, had a feeling like I had to enact the right way to do things for the benefit of somebody that was watching. I used to think it was for the benefit of my fellow students. But I always felt like I had to set an example. Always. I always had that feeling. So you may be shown what, okay? But you're never told how. That is purely for you to intuit and implement as part of your training in mastership. So while the ordering of ordinary human life revolves around making a living for oneself and one's immediate family, the life of an initiate is focused upon living a life solely for the benefit of the greater family of humanity as a whole. Doesn't mean you don't serve your family, you do. But there's always the sense of humanity being your family, and you never forget that you have a responsibility to that, even as you're taking care of your duties to your family and your spouse and your children. So everything in the life of an initiate is focused upon service to others and implementing some portion of the divine plan on behalf of humanity. So what are some of the things that are really important that we are being particularly watched to implement? Well, first of all, five human values unite all of humanity in what could be termed and recognized as a divine life. And these would be truth. We have to really speak the truth as we know it with love, and to refrain from speaking even truth if it would really be of harm to another. So truth requires the implementing of discernment, of knowing when it is useful to speak and when it is useful and more of benefit to remain silent. We're also taught that deceit forfeits divine aid. So even the slightest deceitfulness must be shucked, and we must embrace of truth and sincerity in all that we do. Next in the human values is duty, or dharma. We must fulfill our allotted duty given our stage, our age, and our condition in our life. And what is on our plate? We have to be responsible to taking care of that first before we are released to a more expanded field of dharma. And then there's peace. Peace is like pregnancy. It's either 100% or not at all. And what people call peace on this planet in ordinary terms is really simply a pause between two arenas of conflict or opinions or disagreements or battles. So today we can't even watch TV that we don't have war with cupcakes or war with making crafts for the holiday. You know, everywhere you look, there's some war. And so humanity in the ego sense is very fond of conflict. And as we have mentioned, that is how the ego is fed and fostered and kept alive, is through the fostering of conflict and warfare. So peace is very, very important. Next in the human values, you have love. But it's a love without attachment, without the need to change another person so you can love them. It is an unconditional divine love that is only experienced when you have integrated that principle of love that we call the soul or the Christ self. And last but not least is harmlessness. But this harmlessness isn't just being a vegan or a vegetarian, because these things are not necessarily what is required of an initiate. In fact, the master, Joel Cool, said that no true initiate requires vegetarianism or celibacy or any such thing. They outgrow that at some point. Because, again, it causes a, should we say, a sense sometimes of ego superiority in the face of those who don't subscribe to that. So as it says in the Bible, you eat vegetables if that is going to be most edifying and helpful to your person you're with, and you eat beef when that's more edifying and in honoring of your host when that's the case. So we begin to be very, very ordinary in very, very loving, non-divisive ways. And so harmlessness and nonviolence, ahimsa, for initiates becomes increasingly more subtle. And it involves the thoughts and the attitudes and the opinions and even the intentions of the heart. It involves the mind and the will. It is said in the ancient archives that until the lips have lost the ability to wound, they will never be able to speak the words of genuine power. So harmlessness goes way beyond, you know, abusing someone physically. It goes way, way beyond that. So be aware that when we have infused our life with the living love of the Christ principle, which is the soul, it will hurt you more than it would hurt another for you to raise your hand and strike someone or to actively wreak vengeance on anyone. You absolutely become incapable of that. I often say you just totally lose your snark and you find no need for self-defense, because the greatest defense is complete vulnerability. But not the vulnerability of wimpiness and weakness, but the vulnerability that comes of a truly innocent and pure heart, where even nature will rush to protect the innocent one. So if it harms anyone, it must not be done. We must not even ignore or disrespect an animal, or be rude to an animal. That's how close tolerant that becomes. You literally live in kinship and respect of all life. Next, which is big on the checklist, is humility of spirit. We recognize that, oh my God, the divine within us is great. And that all things that are done through us. That the anointing of power is never for us. It's only to be used in service of others. You're not, the flesh is never anointed. The flesh has to die before it's ever anointed. And that's symbolic of the lower ego self, the personal, petty little human self. But true humility of spirit looks like a lion of courage. It looks like Jesus Christ going to the cross to die a shameful death, but without shame himself. Next on the Brownie checklist is silence. Silence with regard to your own levels of spiritual attainment and your personal life. It is permissible to speak of one's experiences when that will serve a need and be useful, but it has to be discerned, because if you share them inappropriately with the wrong person, it could cause them to feel disenchanted or just, put off, discouraged in some way. So we must never discourage a person, which would mean to render them with less of a fiery heartedness towards themselves and their life. And most important of all is the ongoing involvement in serving humanity. And this is an attitude that determines whether it is service that is being done or whether you're just working for a paycheck or some personal benefit. Service always has to be devoid of personal self-interest. You can be given a donation or paid if you're a professional and have an attitude of service, but it's not the reason and motivation behind why you're in that position and doing whatever it is you're doing. You can walk down the street and pick up some garbage and throw it in your trash can with an attitude of service, and that's a great service. So it can be very, very simple. Or wiping the sink when you've used it, a public bathroom, or picking up the paper off the floor and putting it in the receptacle. These simple, simple little attitudes that show a life of an initiate that's always looking for ways to make life easier and better and more pleasant for another. Initiates truly live to be a blessing. They don't want to be seen as that. They want their acts to be there, but they want to be invisible in terms of looking for any kind of recognition. So only the ego wants to be noticed and have recognition and has self-importance. The initiate does not. The initiate is a dead man walking. That carnal flesh man and that carnal flesh mind has completely been crucified in a genuine initiate. So next is self-awareness. If you're not aware of yourself as soul, then where can any other awareness be given to you? So self-knowledge is the first prerequisite. Getting to know yourself on every level, how you operate physically, emotionally, mentally, under stress, when you're at your best, your weakest points, when you're at your worst. Get to know yourself. And get to know yourself so well that you become aware of how to direct yourself in your life. And exercise constant self-discipline so that you stretch yourself and you don't give in to your weakness and your discomfort and your excuses to live small. You're constantly mastering the self. And you learn also to master and manage time, energy, money, food. So there's no wastage on any level. And the highest good of the highest priority is served at all times. Time, energy, money, food. Manage it so there's no wastage. And next is the consecration of the entire life. The whole life is brought into a concentric circle that revolves around the implementing of the divine plan upon earth. What is that divine plan upon earth? Number one, it's the active implementation of goodwill. The practice and implementation of goodwill. That is the number one priority in bringing the divine plan upon earth. And this goodwill has to filtrate every area of life. It needs to spread amongst all the nations, all the creeds, all the cultures, all the peoples. And nations need to practice brotherhood amongst themselves. We need to get over these national egos that want to saber rattle and lord it over others and dictate how others should live. You're seeing national egos the same as you would a human ego. So nations can become ego-driven by an egocentric dictator, for example, and bring the whole ruin to the whole nation. So a nation, unfortunately, comes under the karma of its elected leader or the leader or the king or whoever has been placed in that position. So the sin of that father of that nation is visited to all the sons and daughters of the nation. Doesn't seem fair, does it? But souls that have that karma with that particular pattern will incarnate under that particular regime. Because everyone is a soul, learning to live the life as an initiate, consecrated to the service of all life. So, amongst nations, nations need to learn to get along, to practice tolerance and forgiveness, and understanding of each other, and learn not to offend. Learn not to hurt each other's feelings and make each other mad and vex each other's spirits. We need to be able to sit down at the debating table and talk things over in a calm way so that mediation begins to replace military. And we begin sharing the resources of this planet as one global family. So that is number one in terms of implementing the divine plan upon Earth. Number two is the immediate providing of food, shelter, education, and medical care for everyone, irregardless of their ability to pay. In fact, these things should be provided free of charge, according to the masters of the hierarchy. Sai Baba started it, giving food, shelter, education, medical care, surgery for all. Started that in Puttaparthi and began to spread. So he was planting a seed for what will be our future. And then there's to be the complete revision of our forms of leadership, our ways of exercising political leadership, our forms of economy, how we use money, how we use power, or misuse and abuse power and money. And there are many initiates who've incarnated in these areas addressing the political system and the economic system and the humanitarian systems. So, there are people serving very advanced souls in all of these areas already. Now, in terms of those of you who are teachers and writers, our task is opening hearts, finding ways of opening hearts and generating the energies of one accord, of mutual understanding, mutual tolerance, the broadening of the heart and the mind, to be able to accept the differences of people without divisiveness and hatred. Also, what is needed is the teaching of basic spiritual truth, the immortality of the soul, and the continuity of revelation. You can't put truth in a God box, in a religion, in a creed, in a doctrine, in a scientific theory, because it's open-ended, ever unfolding to what is next. So that's the divine plan, and we all need to be in some area of endeavor with respect to that, implementing that in our own way, in our own work, however we're doing that. So the life of an initiate requires self-actualization, self-trust, self-initiative. And that becomes then the basis for self-realization. So it takes great courage to learn to trust that inner voice of intuition and to be able to disregard the din of outer opinions. We need to completely lay aside any importance to the opinions of others and be true to the soul that we are. Be true to God, be true to Christ, even if everyone in the world is proven wrong. Be true to God. So remember that your divine self, God, and the true master, or the Christ, are all one and the same. You can call them your higher principles, or you can just call them that one divine love that lives in you and expresses through you as you. So all genuine spiritual approaches teach spiritual integration of your Christ self or soul and service to humanity. I don't care what they are. They all teach that. And every single genuine spiritual path emanates from that same divine source that we call the spiritual hierarchy, or Shambhala. And the outer names and forms are not at all important. The Brotherhood absolutely places no importance on the name and form that the many sons and daughters of God accord importance to when they're still locked in the separative state of ego definition. Only the ego creates a religion, never the master. So there is one true path, and that's the path of love. There is one true language, the language of the heart. And there is one true God who is omnipresent as divine love. And there is one true way home to God through the Christ. And the Christ is just another name for your true self as divine love. So the life of today's initiate is in the world. The tests and trials of the initiate occur in the workplace, in your relationships, with your bosses and employees, in managing people and business enterprises and finances and coping with power and success and failure. And it's demonstrated on the freeway and traffic jams. It's in how you communicate and resolve conflicts and issues with your family and others. It's in how well you heed and obey your inner voice of conscience and take time to recharge your spiritual batteries on a regular basis. That's the life of today's initiate, right in the middle of the world. So today's initiate must learn how to live in a state of inner calm and tranquility and spiritual awareness in the very midst of this frenetically paced techno-jungle world. It's the ability to walk in the world without fear. And I'll tell you, when you realize that you can never die, you will begin to truly live for the first time, because most people are so afraid of dying that they never truly live. So if you get nothing else from our talks, know this, you are living an immortal life now. You will never cease to be. You can't possibly die. You simply lose the ability to function at one level, but gain the ability to function at another. And if you commit suicide, you're going to boomerang right back into the same condition almost immediately, but with the added karma for having committed a spiritual crime, which is to end your own life, the one that was given you to exercise your own mastery and to become the Christ that you are. So don't waste your time. So today's initiate has to make peace with the world and be in peace in the world and see the world as his living room or her living room and humanity as just members of his own family. That's the attitude of an initiate. Love all, serve all, be alike to everyone, for all life is one. So high-level initiates and many of the masters have already emerged into this arena, this physical arena of human endeavor. So you can recognize them only, perhaps by their inner serenity, perhaps by their harmlessness and steadfast compassion and service. Because never, ever, ever will a master claim to be a master. That very claim proves immediately that they're not a master. Now their disciples may call him a master, but only another master can recognize another master, truly. You can only see in another who you are and what you've attained yourself. So humility and reticence in speaking about themselves is also a characteristic of the advanced ones. The advanced initiate will seldom ever give a personal opinion and are known more by what they don't say than what they do say. But when an advanced soul speaks, the words penetrate deep and leave a lasting impact, even though the words may be few. So eloquence is no indication of mastery. You know, you can teach a parrot how to speak nicely. Advanced masters operate through their initiated disciples working in the world. Very seldom will you see an advanced master actually out doing what can be done from behind the scenes. They may be in the world, but still working behind the scenes for their initiated disciples. They communicate by way of very subtle, energetic impressions, which the initiate must intuit at a soul or monadic level. Very seldom, if ever, by direct verbal communication. The master almost always speaks inwardly. Very, very much a soul-to-soul communication. And there's no difference between souls or distance between souls, so it's immediate. And it's not limited by any kind of distance. Also, no true master ever channels through a psychic medium, ever. It is forbidden. No master communicates or calls forth those who have passed on, that is to say, the dead. That, too, is forbidden. No master practices any form of sorcery or practices any dark psychic art whatsoever. Their power comes only from the living word of the divine spirit within them. Now we're speaking of initiates here and members of the great brother and sisterhood of light. There are men and women, of course, who channel, who practice psychic arts, who are mediums, who do communicate as spiritists with the dead. That's a different thing. There are people who practice sorcery and the psychic arts and the dark arts and all of that, but I'm not addressing that topic this evening. I'm addressing initiates of the great divine lords of light, of the Christ and the office of the Christ. I'm speaking to you. All of you upon the spiritual path at this time are being tested to see if you are able to pass into your next level of initiation, which is always an entrance into greater revelation and light. So this life is extremely important for every one of us, and no one here at this time who is not being stretched to the max, there's nobody that's not being stretched to the max to see how far you can be stretched and not break. So everyone's having a challenge now. Somewhere in some area of their life, they're being confronted with something that they have to master, surmount, find a way to deal with, confront, forgive, release, let go, move beyond. Every one of us. And the paradox is this. It is always about you as soul, and it has nothing to do with you as a human being. But the human incarnation is the only vehicle that the soul has to operate through. The soul is already a master. The soul is already a Christ. The soul is already the anointed one. But it's getting that Christed, anointed soul down into the human mind, into the heart, and into the physical expression until the human and the divine are perfectly married and fused into one. This is the divine marriage. And this perfect fusion of the human with the divine was the example set by Jesus of Nazareth. And his example serves as the model and template for each one of us on this planet and for this whole cycle of time. There will be some who move into full Christship at the end of this cycle of graduation. And there will be some who step into their immortal bodies of light, like the Christ, the resurrected immortal body of light. And therefore, we need to aim high and shoot for the stars, because any one of us may be one of them. And we are in a time when the Christ is returning and reappearing in many ways upon our planet and within the cosmic levels. What you need to understand is that this is a multidimensional reappearing and returning. It is not limited to just the physical presentation of the return of Jesus the Christ. We're not minimizing that in any way. We're simply saying that he went so that we could be filled with the Holy Spirit and do what he did and even greater. So this is part of the even greater. So the Christ is returning now individually through soul infusion and integration into a whole collective bride or Messiah. And those who have become one with the Christ itself are the collective bride of Christ. They are the collective Messiah that is appearing in the world today. And individually, the Christ returns at a planetary level, within the solar system, within the galaxy, within the universe and the universes, and at cosmic levels. So the Christ principle of eternal love is also infinite. And the return of Christ is multidimensional and multifaceted. Please understand this. The return of the Christ and the preparation of humanity to receive the Christ at whichever level they are able and receptive is the divine plan we as initiates are all working to implement. That is really why we are on Earth at this time. We are here to return all life back to the one love that is. And that love that is but another name for Christ. So know the responsibility you have in this lifetime to emerge from the closet of your limitation, of your ego, of your whatever has kept you living small and in denial of your true self, and come out of that closet, sons and daughters of God, Christed ones in the making, Christed ones marked to be, Christed ones in the testing, Christed ones in the manifestation now upon earth. And so we bless you in the name of the Christ, speaking the activation of that which would be for you your highest good and your highest level and your next step. Let's go out chanting, and I, you, deep breath. Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed is the name of the Lord, and God willing, I will be with you this time next week, Adonai.